hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
In Revelation chapter 20, in verse 11, we read these words, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." It's this initial phrase here in verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them." What is John seeing? Well, he is now taken to the last judgment, and he sees this beautiful white throne. It's beautiful, and it's white, meaning it's totally pure. And what we have described here is the divine courtroom. He sees him who sat on it. There is Christ. And we picture him not as a lowly servant, not as one riding on a donkey, but as an exalted king sitting on his throne. And the imagery that we are given is really the same that came out in chapter 1. Remember in Revelation chapter 1, where Jesus is described, the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were like white wool and white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Well, here in Revelation chapter 20, this king has taken his seat. The first thing John says is that from his holy, pure face, heaven and earth fled away. What is this? All the effects of human sin upon creation, what happened to the heaven and earth, this is describing here that they fled away from the whole presence of Jesus on his throne. It's the same thing that really is described in 2 Peter chapter 3. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up." There will be a whole cosmic meltdown. Revelation describes this as the mountains and the islands being removed, the stars falling to the earth, and the sun and the moon darkening, and the sky rolling up like a scroll. And what else? Well, we read this is going to happen. We read this back in Revelation chapter 6, that it gives us another vision of this same scene, where in Revelation chapter 6, we read, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place, And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" All that is the focal point in Revelation 20 of Christ on his powerful throne. Now, my friends, the Bible has been announcing this final judgment scene, this great white throne judgment, this final judgment for 2,000 years. 1 Peter chapter 4, we read, "They will give an account of him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, we read, "There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Well, that day of accounting has come. John says in verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God." In fact, if you look down at verse 13, what we read is that the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. What has happened? Well, it's the last day. The general resurrection has occurred. Remember, Jesus said that there is going to be a general resurrection, both of the unjust and the just. Paul spoke of that in the book of Acts. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of this: "We shall all be changed in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet." Well, here in Revelation 20, bodies have been given. A resurrection of the just and the unjust has occurred. John says, "There they all stood, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life." This is exactly what Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, this is what we read: "I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels like a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." It's judgment day. Judgment day. The same thing in Daniel chapter 7 is here described in Revelation chapter 20. In fact, Matthew 25 enlightens us and gives us even a greater detail about this. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." Revelation tells us that those who are on the left, books will be opened. Now, this is a very scary thought, my friends. Revelation says, Revelation 20, that they will be judged by the things which were written in the books. You see, Christ has a record book of your life. And all throughout the life of the unbeliever, and I'm highlighting that issue here, this is the unbeliever. All throughout their life, every sin, every deed done against the law of God was written down. And on that day, there before them, their whole life in one book will be held out. Everything they did spoke against the word of God, against his law, the book will be opened, and their whole life in a moment of time will be exposed in front of everyone. Matthew 25 says that. And you see, really, the message of the Christian gospel is so serious, isn't it? That's why churches, you know, can't act like everything is just grand and great. We have to plead with people to come to Christ. The weight of the warning against what is going to happen and to turn from sin and to come to Jesus is a very serious call. There's nothing comical, there's nothing casual, there's nothing lighthearted. We're dealing with eternity and where people will go for eternity. And how many people have no idea or even thinking about this at all? The detail that God gives here about what is going to happen, because it's so hard even to consider, isn't it? I don't really care and like to consider some of these deep, profound, difficult truths of the Word of God, but it doesn't remove the truth of them. Would you consider it loving or unloving to say to somebody, if the stove was on high and you saw your little boy going to put a hand on it, what would you say? Would it be unloving or loving to say, you know, I don't want to tell him because I don't want to violate him and I don't want to offend him, and just to watch the kid put his hand on the stove? That would be the most unloving thing you could ever do. Of course you would stop him. That's why the church, with all of its passion and heart, pleads and says, turn, believe in Jesus. We don't want that to happen to you. These, God says, will be judged by their works. And the Lord is going to cast death and Hades into the lake of fire, and anyone not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. My friends, that is the outcome. That is the outcome for all of those who do not come to Jesus Christ and believe in him by faith alone. God is a just God. But there's something so comforting here. You know, one of the early confessions of the Christian church said that in all my sorrows and persecutions, when I lift with uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me, to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. You see, the great factor of difference here between the believer and the unbeliever is the book of life. And the book of life is opened. And for those on Christ's right hand, I want you to notice something about Revelation 20, and I want you to think about this as we close this broadcast today. Notice there is not one work written there. The book of life is open too. And no one found written, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you know what's in the book of life? Only names. Only names. Only those written there from the foundation of the world will be saved. What that means is that God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, doesn't record any works for condemnation to the believer in Jesus. This is the entire registry of those whom Christ has purchased with his precious blood. Only those written in this book are taken to glory. Dear friend, the greatest question you could ever be asked in this life is, do you believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life? Well, we're so glad you've tuned into Abounding Grace today. We want to give you a sincere invite to join us for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church. Our worship service times are on Sundays at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We have services that will preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is our commitment. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. Well, thank you for tuning in. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.